Hallelujah. The Lord put it on my heart to have you go to the book of Haggai. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are grouped right there together at the end of the Old Testament. Amen? Have you found it? If you haven't found it by now, you're not going to find it. Amen? These three prophets are three prophets. This isn't a history class in here today. And hallelujah. But I need you to know, these three prophets are the three prophets. They're called minor prophets because their books are short. But they're not minor prophets at all. They're major prophets. Zechariah had 10 major visions in this book of Zechariah that you might just want to study out sometime. It's good reading. Amen? These are the three prophets that the Holy Spirit used to address the nation of Israel, having come out of a 7-year captivity in Babylon for disobedience. Disobedience always leads to captivity. Disobedience to the precious, holy, written word of God always and only leads to obedience. It's only obedience that unplugs the spout where the miracles come out. Amen? Obedience always sets the stage for the miraculous. People who don't want to obey God don't stand a chance when it comes to the miraculous. But obedience always sets the stage for the miraculous. Disobedience blocks the spout where the miracles come out. Hallelujah. We're going to read right here in Haggai this morning. We're taking the offering. It's going to be different. Amen? If you haven't been here before, praise the Lord. Just bear with us. You'll be okay. We'll get through this together. Amen? I ask you to go to Haggai. Helen, what page is Haggai on? I don't have my glasses on. In your Kenneth Copeland Bible. 11:17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right before Zechariah, right after Zephaniah, is that correct? Look right here. I want you to know that Israel just came out of 70 years of captivity in Babylon for their disobedience. They've come out of that captivity, and now God has sent the prophet Haggai to speak to them about restoring the temple, which had been destroyed 70 years later, earlier, 70 years prior to what we're going to read. Solomon's temple was destroyed for their disobedience. They went into 70 years of captivity for not listening to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You following me? Amen? 70 years of captivity for disobedience. And now here they've been released from the captivity. The prophet speaks, and they all hop like bunnies to do exactly what he said, because they don't want to go back into 70 more years of bondage. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. Israel is, they're God's chosen people. Say, Israel, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. In Jesus' strong name. Psalm 122, 6 through 9 says, if we will bless Israel, God will bless us. We are a pro-Israel church. Amen? Israel is a sovereign free nation. May 15, 1948. God gave them back their land. He didn't have to give it back to them. He never took it away. The devil took it away. God got it back to them. Israel is not a terrorist state. Israel has a right to defend herself. She's a democracy just like the United States of America. No one has the right to come to America and say, we want Iowa, and we're going to start shooting bombs all over your country from Iowa. And you're going to give us Iowa. Or we're going to blow up your kids' school buses. We wouldn't tolerate that in America, would we? Why should Israel have to tolerate that? Why should even America go over to Israel and say, you need to give the Palestinians that piece of land called Gaza, Gush Katif, and let them live in there and shoot bombs on you? That's stupid. That is asininity gone to seed. We love Israel. I'm just trying to make the point. Amen? No matter what you hear here today, we are a pro-Israel church. We tell people when it comes to voting, you need to elect candidates who are first pro-Israel. If you want God to be pro-you, you've got to be pro-Israel. The body of Christ is not spiritual Israel. God has not given up on Israel. Psalm 89, God never will give up on Israel. They are Israel, we are the body of Christ. Amen. God loves Israel. We love Israel. The Bible says if we will bless Israel, if your prayers haven't been being answered as proficiently as you desire for your prayers to be answered, Maybe it's time for you to just open your mouth once or twice during the course of every day and say, Israel, be blessed. We do it around here all the time. Let's do it again. Israel, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. And mean it when you say it. Don't just do it mechanically. Amen. Hallelujah. God said in Psalm 122, 6 through 9, He will personally bless those who bless the nation of Israel. Amen. So we're over here. We're going to look at Haggai. We're taking the offering. I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God this morning. You be believing God with me that you'll hear what you need to hear. I'm giving you a heads up. It's different in here today. Amen. It's always noisy, but it's just different. You can tell already I'm going at it differently today. In the second year of Darius the king, in verse 1 of Haggai 1, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. He's telling Haggai, I want you to speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. Let me just tell you real quick, Zerubbabel and Joshua were given the responsibility of rebuilding the temple. That's why they're being addressed here. They were the leaders in the new construction project. Amen? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They're saying, we'll get around to that later. We're just going to enjoy our freedom for now. Amen? And they built their own houses before they rebuilt the house of the Lord. Amen? Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? In my house, this house, lie waste, God's saying. A sealed house is a house, look right here with the ceiling. They have been living in tents. They came out of captivity, and first thing they did, built themselves houses with ceilings. And God said, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and my house lie waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Repent. He's saying, you've sown much and you bring in little. And you're wondering why. You eat, but you don't have enough. And you're wondering why. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. And you're wondering why. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. You don't have enough clothing. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes in it. No matter how much money you bring in, it just doesn't meet your needs. Why? Why? God promised to bless them. Here's what the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You put your building of your house before the building of my house. Now let me just tell you before we go any further. The Lord put this on my heart this week to tell you this. And to tell you, you don't have this problem. Nobody in this room that I know, there's some new folks here today, but the regulars who are here today, you don't have this problem. You have put your church first in every way. This is commendation we're going to see here today, not rebuke. Israel got rebuked for not building the house of the Lord first. You're not getting rebuked, you're getting commended because everything you do around here is putting the growth of this church first. And the Lord told me to commend you for it this morning. So that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. He said, go up to the mountain, get wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. You want me to take pleasure in you? He's saying, build me a house. I'll be glorified, said the Lord. He looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house, to build his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. You're wondering why you're not getting any harvest, any crops. You're putting yourself before me, the Lord's saying. And I call for drought. It actually says I allowed a drought, because the people allowed it with their selfishness, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. You did it to yourself. You cursed yourself by putting yourself first. God says when you put him first, he'll put you first. Amen. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. Look at this. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. I just told you they disobeyed Ezekiel and Jeremiah and went into 70 years of captivity, and they decided, we ain't going back there. Yeah. Hallelujah. So they obeyed immediately the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. That word is awesome respect. God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to respect him. Amen? Hallelujah. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message again to the people, saying, look what the Lord said to him. You know what happened here? As soon as Haggai said, the Lord says, if you build me a house, I'll bless everything you put your hand to. Immediately, they ran to the woods looking for wood and anything they could scrape up to rebuild the temple. Amen? And look at how the Lord responded. He said, I am with you. You can say now, saith the Lord. Amen? This kept popping out to me yesterday and the day before as I was meditating on this chapter of Haggai. You want to look up here and hear this. He kept popping this out at me. I am with you, saith the Lord. I'm to tell you today, I am with you, saith the Lord. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I see the effort you made. I see the price you're willing to pay. I see your faithfulness and your obedience to my word. And I am with you, saith the Spirit of the Lord. This kept popping out and popping out to me every time I read it. I never said a word to Barbara. Never said a word to Barbara. She woke up this morning. I woke up this morning around 3:45 in the morning. Put on a CD. One of my favorite preachers, me. Hallelujah. I put on that message that the Lord gave me by inspiration last Wednesday night, faith and patience for finances. Barbara was laying there beside me, just quietly listening. I had no idea the Lord was dealing with her. We went back to sleep, woke up at 6 o'clock this morning. And what did you say the Lord had been saying to you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock this morning, off and on?
God is with you.
The future is bright. God is with you, he kept saying to her. The future is bright. God is with you. Receive it in Jesus' name. You can receive it. The very thing he's telling me here to tell you, I am with you. He told Barbara in the middle of the night last night and again this morning multiple times. She woke up this morning. It's the first thing she said to me. And what did I say to you? I said, that's exactly what God's been telling me for the past 2 days as I've been meditating on this chapter of Haggai. God is telling us, I am with you. God is not against us. God is not angry with us. God is pleased that we've put our hand. We have a 1 year anniversary coming up 1 month from this very day. We've stood strong in the face of the most ungodly persecution. The things that have been done to us, we won't even go into today. Amen? But we stood strong. Amen? What the devil meant for harm, God will use for good. He just strengthened us. Dumb devil! Everything he tries to do to us, God turns around and uses it to good. Isn't that what Joseph told his brothers after they sold him into captivity? 18 years later, they came around, needed food. They saw Joseph was the vice president of the world. And they fell to their knees. They thought Joseph was going to kill them for what they did. He said, brothers, don't fear. Never fear me. What you meant for harm, God is used for good and to save many people. You and all of Israel were saved because of what the devil did to you through me. Worship God. How everything the devil means for harm, God always uses for good. Somehow or another. And not by hook or by crook. Always honestly. Always legally. Always morally and always scripturally. God will take the most dastardly deed of Satan and turn it into something good in your life. To where you'll look back, you might be thinking, now God, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? You will look back and you will say, oh God, thank you for allowing that. Thank you for allowing that. That's just how good he is. You don't know everything, but he knows everything. He's already been down the road. We're still traveling. Hallelujah. We're taking the offering. Look what the Lord said right here. They went running out for material. He said in verse 13, I am with you. I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Everybody say Zerubbabel. Say Zerubbabel. It's easy enough to say. The son of Shealtiel. Say Shealtiel. governor of Judah, in the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading. In the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, and then in the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying again, oh, it's going to get better. He's prophesying again. Don't you love prophecy? Hallelujah. I told you this morning, prophecy is history before it happens. You have to think on that one. Prophecy is history before it happens. When God speaks, it's going to come to pass. So it's as good as history, even though it hasn't happened yet. Amen? Hallelujah. So you think on that. Speak now to Zerubbabel. God told Haggai to prophesy again to the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. By the way, Zerubbabel is the offspring of David. He's in Jesus' genealogy. And to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? The answer to the question is, it's a mess, God. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. They have been given the assignment of overseeing the rebuilding of the temple, as I said. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Look again. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. Hallelujah. He said, according to the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they broke covenant with God, but God stayed in covenant with them. When you break covenant with God, God stays in covenant with you in an even greater way than He did with the people of the Old Testament. Because the Bible says, that's easy for me to say, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:6 that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, established on better and more and excellent promises. God will never break covenant with you. Never break covenant with you. Never break covenant with you. He never gets angry. He never gets mad. He loves you. He doesn't condone sin. Sin is wrong. Sin is wrong. But repentance is always right. And when you come back to God, you don't have to go to the end of the line when you repent and come back to God. You get right back where you were in the line according to the covenant you were standing on with God. And the Bible says He places your sins between His shoulder blades where He can't see them. He casts your sins into the sea. One translation says the sea of forgetfulness. You can come. How long does it take? Put your fingers over, put your hand over your head. Let's practice before I say it. Snap your fingers. Snap your fingers. Now snap them in the Amplified Bible. How long? Put your hands back up. Does it take to get right with God? Just like that. Oh God, forgive me in Jesus' strong name. You are back in covenant with God like you never even left. That's how God, how good He is. Amen. No penance. No extra chores. Amen. Although Barbara forgot the sheet music this morning. I had to go back to Osterville and get it. I think I'll be like God in this case. I was going to make her do my chores this week, but I think I'll just be merciful and forgive you the way God forgives me. No penance. Loving as usual. Thank you, Maurice. Hallelujah. Supportive as usual, Maurice. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, I am with you. I am with you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you as an orphan in a storm. I will not, I will not, I will not ever remove my hand from you, God said. What a good God. Hallelujah. Some of the world's false religions and make-believe disciplines build up a God who's just punitive, punishing, mean, and cruel. That's not what God is like. That's not what God is like. And God said in Isaiah 45, He said, "There, besides me, there is no other God. I am the God of goodness and benevolence, and besides me, there is no God. There's one God, and He's a good God, and He loves you, and no matter how far away you may have been from Him, He never walked away from you." Amen? He never walked away. He's standing right where you left Him when you walked away, just waiting for you to come back. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. Amen. The Father runs out when we repent to meet us halfway and to hug us.
Amen.
And to kiss us on the cheek and restore us to a position of dignity and dominion. I look like Dean Martin up here with this. I need to take a drink of this. Hallelujah. I need to get rid of that. Amen. I just realized it looked like I had a martini in my hand or something. We don't do that anymore. Amen. 26 years ago, 27 this spring, I was delivered from supernaturally from drug and alcohol addiction, slain in the spirit for 3 days. When I came to, I don't know where I went. I laid on that sofa for 3 days. I don't know where I went. I didn't dream. I didn't change positions. I didn't get up and use the facilities. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, when I came to on Wednesday, I had been supernaturally delivered from drug and alcohol addiction, cocaine in particular. Amen? And I've been free ever since. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! 3 days slain in the Spirit. And I came out of it like this. This is better. I've been bound, and I've been free. Free's better. I told God, if you'll set me free, I will give you my life. To make a long story short, He did, and I am. Preaching the gospel 26 years this year. Hallelujah. God says, I am with you. I am with you. That's the message today. Amen. Let's just keep on reading. I told you it's going to be different. Amen. We're not going point by point through an outline this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody know where I left off? Verse 6. Thank you. Yes. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it's a little while, and I'll shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. He's talking about the come. He's prophesying way into the future now about the future renovation of the earth and the in the skies by fire. And I'll shake all nations. This is talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And the desire of all nations shall come. That's Jesus. Amen? We desired Him. He came to us. The world will desire Him. He will come. And I'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. We're believing God to fill this house with glory because He's as pleased with us, He said, as He was with them. For putting the building of the temple first, the building of His house first. Now, we don't build earthly temples today. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2 that we are a spiritual house built with living stones. Amen? You're a stone in the house of God. Every one of us is an individual stone in the house of God. We're building a house for God here, and we've put Him first, and He says, I am with you. You know what else He said right there to them? He said, the silver and gold, let me read it properly, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Why did He tell them that? Because He's saying, it's mine to do whatever I want to do with, baby. And if you're going to use it to build my house, if I can get it through you, I'll get it to you. How many times have you heard me say that around here? If God can get it to you, He can get it through you. You've been using your money properly because you know why money comes. Don't you? Anyone in this room could stand up here and preach this sermon. Amen? Hallelujah. But I dare you to come up here and try to bump me. I'm going to preach it today. Amen? Money comes for the same three reasons Jesus came. Jesus came, Luke 19:10, didn't He? To seek and save the lost. God's silver and gold comes to us when He is persuaded and we prove to Him we will use it to seek and to save the lost. That's the first reason Jesus came. It's the first reason money comes. The second reason Jesus came is 1 John 3:8. He came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, the Apostle John. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Money comes to destroy the works of the devil. A lot of people believe in the prosperity message. They pay tithes and offerings stingily, unwillingly, reluctantly, hoping to prosper. And they're not prospering because they don't understand why money comes. They want money to come so that they can go off and do any stinking thing they want. They just want to live an ostentatious lifestyle. That's not what God promises. He promises wealth but only to those who understand that money comes for the same reasons Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Money comes to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Money comes to destroy the works of the devil. And finally, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Amen. Hallelujah. And money comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Some people put the life and life more abundantly before seeking and saving the lost and destroying the works of the devil, and God doesn't trust them. Amen? But you can fix that in re-earnest trust. How long does it take to get right with God? Hallelujah. Somebody just got right with God in their thinking, and God's going to bless you for it. Amen? Hallelujah. The gold and silver is God's. And look what else he said. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give you peace, saith the Lord of hosts. He told them, you build that building for me, and I'll pour out my spirit, and I'll meet every one of your needs supernaturally. I'll show up in the place. That's what he said. I know I talk plain, but sometimes people live plain, and they need to be spoken to plain. Amen? I'm a plain preacher. Amen? Just lay it out. Keep it simple. Amen? The KISS theory. Some people say keep it simple, stupid. I say keep it simple, students. Amen? Amen? We're feeding sheep around here, not giraffes. We don't put it way up on the theological shelf where you can't get it. We put it down here where you can come and feed on it at will. Amen? God's promised Israel, you build that house and my glory will show. He's promised us the same thing. Keep building this house. My glory will show. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go over to the book of Zechariah. Brother Maurice is going to take the offering, and we're not going to stop the service to do that. So as you go to the book of Zechariah, I'm going to ask you, as Brother Maurice comes to take up our tithes and offerings this morning, that you not talk to one another. Don't talk, please, to Maurice, unless you have to. I mean, if you have a legitimate question... Amen? 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 Praise the Lord. But don't ask him how his engineering projects are going and anything, you know. You know, and no banter today. Speak to him if you need to speak to him. Amen? Amen? Concerning a related subject. As you go to Zechariah chapter 10 in your Bible, if you need an envelope, he'll give you one. You can mark it. We'll keep a record of your giving, and we will give you a tax-deductible receipt at the end of each year. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter, what did I say?
Yes.
Okay, praise be to God. Please forgive me and go to chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're just going to move right through with the service. This is what the Lord's showing me to do. So this is what we will do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe Dean Martin knew the Lord before he died, by the way. I believe Dean Martin called on Jesus. You know, we might make jokes up here, but we never do it at the expense of God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. I just saw myself walking back and forth with this class and remembered seeing Dean Martin on television. And I believe when Dean died at the end of his life, Jesus Christ was the Lord of his life. Amen? And that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Singing for Jesus in heaven. But I believe Dean Martin was a worship leader. He was a psalmist, a minstrel in the body of Christ who missed his calling. Like so many other secular musicians today, amen? They're put into the earth for the service of the Lord and don't hook up with their callings. Elvis Presley, he loved the Lord, amen? He's got spiritual recordings. We have some of them, and we love Brother E, amen? He loved the Lord. But he wasn't doing the will of God while he was in the earth, but he's doing it now. He made heaven. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loves us so much, he makes it easy for us to become part of his forever family. Amen. And Brother Maurice, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we receive this offering now with thanksgiving. Father, you said, if we would bring the tithe, that's 10% of our increase in our income, 10% of whatever you give us, into the storehouse, bring it to the storehouse, not send it to the TV ministry. No, no offense to TV ministries, and we have a TV ministry. Hallelujah. But you said bring it to the storehouse, God, The storehouse is wherever your pastor is teaching and preaching the word of God. And you said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out to you such an abundance of blessing, you'll have to make room to receive it. Father, you're pleased with us today. You've been quickened in that in my spirit the past 2 days. And now we ask you to look from your throne room in heaven, Father, to what's occurring in this room today as I speak by your anointing, pray by your leading, Father. Bless these people as you promised in your word, Father. Lord, give them a demonstration of your benevolence, your goodness, and the pleasure that you have in them, Father. You said in Psalm 37, verse 25, you said that it gives you pleasure to prosper your servants and your children, Father. So we thank you for it by faith, God. We thank you, Lord, because we're tithe payers and offering givers and word obeyers, that things happen for us and not to us. In Jesus' strong name, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you're there in Zechariah chapter 4. Thank you, Brother Maurice. Hallelujah. 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 Zechariah chapter 4, is that where I asked you to go? Hallelujah. Praise be to God in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Zechariah had a visitation of an angel here at the very same time that Haggai had his visitation of the Holy Spirit that we just read. Right at the same time. Amen. Zechariah and Haggai were contemporaries. They lived at the same time in the same neighborhood. Amen. Hallelujah. And here we see an angel coming and talking to Zechariah about Zerubbabel and his building of the temple. Amen? We're still in the same subject here, just a different prophet in a different book, but at the same time. Amen? Look what the Bible says in Zechariah 4, verse 5. It says that the angel that talked with me answered, Zechariah speaking, the angel talking to him, and said, knowest thou not what these be? He had just given him a vision, which we're not going to look at today. And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, concerning the building of the temple. Stop right there. King Darius came along as they began to build the temple and said, stop the construction, and tried to hinder what God was doing. God sent this angel to Zerubbabel to tell him, don't worry about Darius, don't worry about obstacles, don't worry about human beings. I'm going to personally see to it that you get the temple built because you're my obedient one. And the angel said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. In essence, he's saying, don't worry about Darius. Not by might it won't be built. Not by human might, nor by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Who art thou, the angel said, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, meaning he'll complete, and put the capstone on the top, it will be finished, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. God said to us concerning this church, it won't be built by your might, it won't be built by my power. We don't have might and power apart from him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It'll be done by my spirit. By my spirit. By my spirit. Amen. And then the angel decreed, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. I'm going to ask Barbara to stand up and loudly read so we can hear it on the recording what Zechariah chapter 4 in verse 7 says, what did the angel say about the mountain? Shout it out.
For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles?
O mountain of human obstacles. Read on.
Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding.
He shall bring forth. Pick it up right there.
He shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple. With loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace.
And right there in verse 7 in the Amplified Bible, it also says, the mountain shall become a plain, a mere molehill. Now, I brought that out to you as you go to Mark chapter 11, for a reason. In the Bible, mountains are frequently spoken of. Let me say it again. I said it backwards. You're going to Mark 11. We'll get this. Amen. In the Bible, human obstacles are frequently spoken of as mountains. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We just read the angel said to Zerubbabel, this mountain, bracket, human obstacle. That's what the angel actually said. This obstacle that looks like a mountain to you will become a mere molehill. Whatever you're going through today, whatever mountain of human obstacles you're faced with, that mountain will become a molehill. God will crush it into aggregate and use it to pave a highway ahead of you. You hear me? Barbara and I used to drive back and forth from Burlington, Vermont to Martha's Vineyard for a period of time where we were doing helping my parents with the situation towards the end of their lives. And we would go back and forth frequently. Once a month, we'd come down here for 3 or 4 days to help them move from one of their houses into another house so that they could sell the house they were living in. And halfway down, when we were right somewhere in New Hampshire, there was a mountain on the side of the road that they were blasting over that 1 year period. They were blasting it, and they had, I don't know what you call the equipment, they had there on the side of the blast site, they were blasting big chunks out of the mountain. A front end loader was picking the pieces of rock up, putting it into a crusher. It was going up into a conveyor belt, and they were turning it into asphalt right on the side of the road by the mountain and paving a road right in front of the mountain. And over the 1 year period that we watched them do that, we watched that mountain come down to a mere molehill and literally be turned into a road that passed in front of it. God will take your problems, your mountains, and turn them into highways that will take you directly into the perfect will of God for your life. But there's a key that you have to follow. There's a key you need to adhere to. Look at right here in Mark chapter 11. I want you to see something Jesus said about mountains and human obstacles. Can you hear me in the back?
Amen.
Mark 11. Pick it up in verse, I'm not going to tell you, wait till I get another drink, because you read ahead of me. You know how I don't like that. Because you miss what God's saying. God tells us to read two verses together, and you go read a whole chapter, and you finish reading that chapter, what a blessing it was, but you missed everything the Lord just said through His preacher. Amen? So we don't do that around here. Amen? Verse 12. This is 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion. 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion. This is one of the last lessons Jesus taught His disciples. Must be important. It's one of the last things He chose to demonstrate before His crucifixion. 2 days later, He was to die. On the morrow, when they would come from Bethany, it was in the morning, He was hungry. He's a man just like us. Fully man, but fully God. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Nothing to eat. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. You know, when Jesus spoke, you could hear Him. That's why where I got this anointing of strength. Amen? I figure when Jesus spoke, if you could hear Him, when I speak, you should hear me. Amen? I'm telling you, when I was a drug addict, I couldn't look you in the eye. Even alcohol wouldn't bolster me to where I would not be intimidated by other human beings. I so lacked confidence. But I came out of that 3-year spiritual grave, boy, and my lack of confidence didn't rise up with me. It stayed dead.
Amen.
Amen. And I was resurrected to newness of life and boldness and confidence, particularly after Jim Case laid hands on me, which is another story for another time. Amen. So listen, He curses the fig tree. His disciples hear it, and they walk away. They went into the city for the day. Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. How many people in this room know that Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple? Not once, not twice, but three times. Most people think, when they read the harmony of the Gospels, they think because it occurred in John, Mark, and Matthew, it's all the same incident. It's not. Jesus, what a man! I'd do it one time and run and not go back for fear that if I went back in there, they'd beat the snot out of me. Jesus went back. He did it twice in the last week of his life. Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple three times. Put it in your notes. In John chapter 2, after he changed the water into unfermented wine, that was the beginning of his public ministry. He went into the temple and drove the money changers out. And then 3.5 years later, he did it twice in the last week of his life. Helen, you get anything out of this? Hallelujah. I can tell. You're glued to me. Hallelujah. The last week of his life. You read that in John chapter 2, the first time he did it. Second time he did it was in Matthew chapter 21, during his triumphant entry. After his triumphant entry, he went over to the temple and drove those bad boys out there again with the scourge and whip. Didn't fear one of them. Jesus wasn't a wimp. He's a man's man. The Greeks worshipped the human body. And the Bible says that they came all the way over from Greece, certain men, and they went to his disciple Philip, and they said, we would see this Jesus. They wanted to see his body. He was a perfect specimen of human health and strength. He wasn't a little matchstick man that everybody slapped around. Amen? The Greeks who worshipped the human body came to look at his body. They had heard about it all the way over in Greece. Well, he went in the temple after his triumphant entry, drove all those bad boys out. And nobody did a thing about it. Because they didn't want to get the snot beat out of them, potentially. Amen? And then, 2 days before he died, he did it again, right here in Mark chapter 11. You go check those references. Amen? You'll enjoy reading them. Three times, our big brother Jesus went in there and said, this is my Father's house. It is a house of prayer, not a den of iniquity. Out with the bunch of you. And out they went, hopping and bopping like who? Who are those two little mice on Tom and Jerry there? Hallelujah. They were afraid of them. Amen. And look what happened. Hallelujah. The next morning, they slept outside the city. Mark chapter 11, you'll see where we're going here. Verse 20, in the morning, they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. It didn't dry immediately when Jesus spoke. It took 24 hours, because it happened from the inside out. Listen, that's Jesus' fig tree. He created it. He can curse it to illustrate something to his disciples, you and me. Amen? He wasn't being mean. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. He's getting ready to teach him something here. Getting ready to teach us something here. Something we've already heard, but something that we're not making application of, like the Lord wants us to, so He can bless us the way He desires to. He said, have the God kind of faith, but that's not really what He said. He didn't say, have faith in God. I got that backwards. He didn't say, have faith in God. He actually said, have the God kind of faith. That's what the Greek says. Have the God kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that works. Amen. For verily, verse 23, I say unto you, now he's going to show us how the God kind of faith works. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, there's not a person in this room who can't tell me what that mountain represents now, is there? Somebody tell me, not Helen and not Barbara, and not Barbara Pichelle. What does the mountain mean? Oh my Lord, I'm not doing my job. I didn't get it across. A mountain in Scripture almost always symbolizes human obstacles. Hallelujah. We just read that in Zechariah when the angel came and said, "Who art thou, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain." Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say to whatever the human obstacle is in your life, be thou removed." And he used the fig tree to illustrate it. "And be cast into the sea, if you believe, if you shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he or you saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now look, go back over this with me again, because I don't want you to miss it. Do you write in your Bible? If you don't, put it away and get one you can write in. And circle this word. As I come up, I'll tell you what word to circle. "Whosoever shall say," circle that word. Some of you have it already circled. "Unto this mountain or human obstacle, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe," circle that word "believe," please, "believe that those things which he saith," please circle that word, "saith," "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he believeth, saith." Now please circle that word. Now I need a volunteer. How many times did you circle the word "believe"? How many times did you circle the word "say" or "saith"? Total. Three. 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 Jesus said three times we can have what we say, and he said one time we can have what we believe. You know what he's saying there? We need to put three times more emphasis on the saying part of our faith as we do on the believing part. Christianity has had the believing part down for thousands of years, but not the saying part. Pastor, you already taught us this. The Lord said to me to teach it, and I said, "Lord, I already taught it to them." Teach them again. They're not getting it. Teach them again. They'll get it this time. Amen? Three times more saying than believing. Now, Pastor, are you one of those name it and claim it Christians? Listen, I would rather be a name it and a claim it Christian than a doubt it and a live without it Christian. Amen? And besides, that's disrespectful to say that. I've had people say that to my face. Flippantly. "You one of those name it and claim it?" And I say, "You shouldn't say that. Because that's disrespectful to Jesus. If I'm a name it and a claim it, Jesus is a name it and a claim it. I learned it from him." Amen? I'd rather be a name it and a claim it than a doubt it and a do without it. We got to get the saying part down. Jesus said we need to put three times more emphasis on the saying than on the believing. Listen, everything God does is 180 degrees reciprocal of the way man does it. This doesn't make sense. God's not obligated to make sense to us. Amen? He's God. We're his creation. Everything he does is 180 degrees reciprocal, or the reverse of what we would do. Didn't he say in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, he said, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways of bringing my thoughts to pass are not your ways of bringing my thoughts to pass." Didn't he? If this is the way God says we're going to get our prayers answered, this is the way we're going to get our prayers answered. You saying we can go around cursing fig trees? That's not what Jesus is saying here. The Bible is to be taken literally, unless it's very obviously figurative. And when it's figurative, we are to look for the literal meaning. He's literally teaching us here how to exercise the dominion that he purchased for us at Calvary through the words of our mouths. It works. It works for Jesus. It'll work for us. Maybe not right away. You got to get in the flow of the thing. For Jesus, when he cursed a fig tree, it took 24 hours before they saw results outwardly. He cursed it from the inside out. It happened from the roots up. Same thing will happen as you start speaking the Word of God over your problems, over your needs, over your desires, over your wants, over your lack. Your life will ultimately come in line with the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me just say it to you this way. what Jesus is also demonstrating and illustrating here. You can't pray one way and talk another. I pray for healing for people frequently, and they get on the phone with me after we pray, and I say, you believe you receive? Yes, I believe I receive. 2 or 3 or 4 days later, Pastor, it didn't work. It ain't working, Pastor, it ain't working. Listen to the way you're talking. Amen. Speak to the symptoms. Withstand the symptoms. Maintain your faith confession. It will work. If there's any sin in your life, get the sin out of your life. If you haven't been praying for the president in Israel, start praying for the president in Israel. You'll see supernatural results. But you can't talk one way and pray another. Now, here's how it is that the Lord put it on my heart to bring this message to you today. We're covering a lot of territory today. I know we got new people here. Hallelujah. You folks been with me for a year. You know how things go around here. Sometimes the Lord will just lead me off to just do things different. And we're doing things different here today. Hallelujah. He's trying to put something into you. He's trying to help us to build the temple. In the Bible, there's 3 kinds of visions. Any believer can have them, but mostly people called to ministry experience them. But any believer can have them from time to time. There is a trance. One type of vision is a trance. Peter in Acts chapter 10 was caught up in a trance when God showed him that he was to start preaching to the Gentiles and not just to the Jews. He was caught up in a trance. And that's when your senses are suspended. You don't know where you are. You just get caught up into another world. And on our website, on johnhamelministries.org, if you want to see how that happened to me for a 45-minute period, and a good example of a trance happening to a minister, modern-day style, go on the homepage of our website and read the vision the Lord gave me called I Want Them All, where He gave me a 45-minute vision of what He's about to do, and even doing now in the northeast quadrant of the United States. It's called I Want Them All. We don't have time to go into it. I was caught up into a trance. My senses were suspended. And when the Lord was dealing with me, didn't know where I was. And then there's an open vision. You find that in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 12, where an angel came in to let the disciples out of prison, and they saw him. So it's like, an angel could open that door and just walk in here through what is called an open vision. You don't have to be in a trance. You just come walking right in here. Had that happen as well. More than 6 times in my life have had open visions of angels, God sending them to minister to me. So there's trances, there's open visions, and then there's spiritual visions where you see something through the eyes of your spirit. It's on the inside of your spirit. Until you have one, it's difficult to understand. But it happens on the inside. Just like when Jesus said he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. He saw him in a spiritual vision on the inside. It's really not in your mind. It seems to be in your mind, but it's happening in your spirit, and your mind is interpreting it. He saw Nathanael under the fig tree and knew that he was a man in whom there was no guile and no sin and no compromise. I was praying with Barbara one day this week, and the Lord gave me a spiritual vision. I just went inside myself, and I saw someone from this church. I can't say I know who it is, so please don't ask me later. Amen? I'm not taking the call. I'm illustrating something. They were sitting down, and I heard them speak like this. All I knew was that it was someone in this church. It's all I know. I don't know who it is. And they were on the telephone. The Lord showed me this. And I heard this. I'm going to give you both sides of the conversation. I could hear both sides of the conversation. So how many of you got over there now? Oh, it's just us still. Oh, what a shame. That's really too bad. People aren't coming. Yeah, because the teacher, this is basically what I heard. Somebody in this church on the telephone talking to another person, asking them, how many you got over there? And the person on the phone, just us still. Oh, what a shame, the other person said. Yeah, this person here in the church said, the teaching is just, it's so good. It's really good. I just don't understand why the people aren't coming. I said, I got it, Lord. I got it, Lord. I got it, Lord. We're not in agreement. We're not in agreement. Somebody's out of agreement. Listen, if you're talking to people on the telephone or talking to anybody outside of this church and they're saying to you, how many people are coming? Oh, it's just a few of us still. Been there for a year like that. Oh, what a shame. The teaching's really good. I don't understand why people aren't coming. It's because you keep saying that, whoever it is. And it might not be just one person. It might be more. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, he said, if two or three agree as touching anything on earth, my Father in heaven basically said we'll slap heaven and earth together to cause it to come to pass if only you believe. But you have to be in agreement. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. And if you'll agree on anything in Scripture, I'll cause it to come to pass. You know, if most of us believe in God to fill these chairs, and some of us are wondering and speaking, why aren't these chairs being filled the way we think they should be? We're not in agreement. Do you see that? Some of us are thanking God, praising God, keeping this thing positive, doing what Jesus said, speaking to these obstacles. It's the will of God for these chairs to be filled. He didn't send us here to fail. If some of us are keeping our faith confession, go to Hebrews chapter 3. If some of us are keeping our faith confession in line with the Word, and others are being roped in by the devil through outsiders who are trying to steal your faith confession because he's trying to steal your authority and get you out of agreement with those who are in agreement that the chairs are filled. You following me? We're not in agreement. Amen? You can't pray one way and talk another. You canceled your prayers. We've prayed and we've asked the Lord to fill those chairs. And when the devil tries to dupe us and send somebody to say, how many people you got over there now? You know what we tell people? You know what we tell people? Full house. Thanks for asking in Jesus' name. Every chair is full. They're going to get hammered with both barrels of my faith confession if that's what they're going to ask me. The devil's not going to steal my authority. You know, Satan has no authority over your life any longer as a believer except for right here. The words of your mouth. The words of your mouth. He can't do anything to you anymore. That's why Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the devil, over serpents and scorpions in Luke 10:19, and nothing shall by any means harm you unless you let it. How? By speaking Satan's will and not God's will. That's how faith works. That's how faith works. Nobody's in trouble. Amen? If it's you that's been on the phone doing that, I don't know, because you did a real good job keeping a straight face. I prayed for you beforehand that you'd be able to. And nobody's getting hammered on here. We're tightening things up. It's time to tighten up as we're approaching our first anniversary, not lighten up. Amen? We need to watch what we say. Watch what we say. I'm going to tell you, Little Red Riding Hood. Little Red Riding Hood. Remember the story of Little Red Riding Hood? We don't have much more time here, but I'm going to remind you of Little Red Riding Hood. She was on the way to Grandma's house. Amen? On the way to Grandma's house, the wolf popped out of the woods. He wanted to eat her, but he didn't want to do it where he could get caught and get shot. So he suggested that she pick some flowers to bring to Grandma. So he distracted her. She went out into the woods picking flowers. He ran over to Grandma's house. I guess he ate Grandma. Got into Grandma's pajamas, pulled the cloak over his head, and the little girl, he climbed into the bed, put on Grandma's pajamas, knocked on the door. He said, come in. Amen. And when she opened up the door, the wolf was there in Grandma's clothing and supposedly ate her. Amen. Don't let the devil distract you. Even with people who mean well, he's trying to eat you. He's trying to eat your lunch. He's trying to eat this church. Jesus said we can have what we say. I'm not saying, now please don't go out of here and accuse me of saying everybody gets a Cadillac. Everybody gets a jet. Everybody gets a mansion. You heard during the offering what I believe. Money will only come when we understand the three reasons money comes. The same three reasons Jesus came. But listen, God wants to blow up a church here. Not blow it up as blow it off the surface, but expand it. Grow it up. Amen. We had a man come through here from North Carolina prophesy to us explosive growth after we've been here for 1 year. That's in a month. We don't want to get our mouths out of line with that. Amen. Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain of human obstacles, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So it's time to tighten up our faith confession. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Are you there? Look at right here, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. That word profession, if you've got a computer, right-click on it, on your Bible program, it comes up, confession. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. The Bible says, as Jesus is, so are we in the world. Jesus watched what he said. He wasn't a negative talker, and he never spoke crosswise or contrary to his prayers, and he is the apostle and high priest of our confession of faith. If your prayers aren't being answered, ask yourself this question. Do I pray one way and talk another? Do I pray one way and begin to moan and groan that it's not happening fast enough for me? Hebrews 4, real quick. Flip the page, right next door. Seeing then, in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That word is also confession. Confession. Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. It means, by the way, that word confession, to say the same thing as. That's how it's defined. Let us hold fast saying the same thing as. The same thing as who? The same thing as what? The same thing as the precious, holy, written word of God. God said in John 16:23, whatever you ask me in Jesus' name, I'll do it for you. We asked them to fill the chairs. It's time to stop saying the people aren't coming. The people aren't going to come. Whether it's here to me directly, or to friends on the telephone, on the outside. It needs to stop. Amen? As a matter of fact, I'm serving notice right now, as of today. No more Mr. Nice Guy up here, me. No more Mr. Nice Guy. The next time someone says to me, too bad, Pastor, the people aren't coming, the preaching's so good, I'm telling Barbara. I'm putting her on the case. I'm putting it right on the case, and you will hear from her immediately. And you'll hear me in the background saying, tell him this, tell him this, tell him this. No more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going to correct you. Amen? You've been doing pretty good. But some of you have been kind of sliding back. Even saying to me, they're just not going to come when they realize you're a disciplined kind of guy. They want to go to a carnal hideout. When no one's going to correct their sin, and no one's going to tell them you can't come in late. I'm not going to agree with that. Amen? How, this ministry is a money and a people magnet for Jesus. That's what Barbara and I say. Remember when we first came here to Cape Cod, and people started saying to Barbara and I, and we would tell you, a year ago, people would come and say, Pastor Hamill, you'll see, the Cape's too tough for Jesus. Just too, at least religious people. Too tough for Jesus. You'll see. You'll see. And I'm like, oh Lord, they need to be taught the word of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. You'll see. Maurice, pass these out if you would, please. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, the first week we were here, and you pay attention to me, not Maurice, okay? Listen to what the Lord is saying here today. Amen? The Lord said to me, I saw a bus go by and it said the breeze on it. I had never seen those buses before. You know those buses that says the breeze? They run all over the Cape. And this is when people, everywhere we went, people were saying, oh, you're a new pastor. You'll see the Cape's too tough for Jesus. The Cape's real hard for Jesus. I saw one of those breeze buses, and the Lord put it on my heart, quickened it on the inside of me. Every time you see one of those buses, you say out loud with your mouth, the Cape is a breeze for Jesus. And we've been doing that, helping us to maintain our... And we came in here, we shared that with you. You all started to do it, amen. Don't open those communion cups yet, okay? We're going to do something here together as a family, as a body. You getting anything out of this today? How it's time to just tighten up. It's just time to tighten up. God's wanting to do more. If 2008 is going to be the year of the fullness of His blessing, we're going to have to tighten up what we say. We can't talk one way and pray another, amen. Now you listen to me, if you would, real quickly here, and then we're going to have communion, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to be dismissed. We're doing really good for time here. Amen? And let me just say this in my best, softest pastoral voice. Nobody in here is in trouble. I don't know who was on the phone, and I said, Lord, I don't want to know. Please. I don't want, didn't I? I don't want to know. I told Barbara, I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to know who it is. I'll obey you, Lord. We'll all get tightened up. It'll stop from here. Amen. And no more being deceived by the wolf in Grammy's pajamas. Amen. The devil's trying to steal our faith confession. That's how faith works. Everybody in here knows how faith comes. How does faith come? Romans 10:17. Comes by hearing the word. If you don't hear the word, faith never comes. You heard the word of Jesus, faith came, and you got saved. Right? You heard the word of Jesus from the Bible, faith came, you got saved. Faith comes by hearing. How does faith work? Faith works by love. If we refuse to walk in love towards other human beings, even when those times come when we'd prefer anything else to it, our faith isn't going to work. It comes by hearing. It works by love. But Jesus said it's released through the mouth. It's a spiritual principle. Listen, your head's going to fight it. Your head's going to say, that's the most whacked out thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, it's not whacked out. Didn't God say, let there be light? Was the sun up this morning when you came out? Whew, how long ago did he say that and it's still happening? Didn't he say, let the firmament be separated from the seas? And it happened. Didn't he? Everything God says came to pass. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, as children of God, be imitators of him thereof. Children talk like their parents. Children talk like their daddies. Amen. You write this down in your notes. There's no more time to turn to scripture this morning. Job 22:28 says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. 22:28. You'll have to look at it later. Matter of fact, in your bulletin this morning, you got on the inside of your bulletin some of these scriptures and more. You see the insert in the bulletin right here? Now, we went a little long here today, but it was necessary. Most of these scriptures that I'm going to read to you are in there. You take them home. You look at them. Hallelujah. And if you need to repent, you just do that. Amen? Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You can't pray for healing and then talk sickness and think that prayer is going to come to pass. You're canceling it. Amen? Now, God's not mad at you. He's just trying to get you operating the way he operates. A man's belly, Proverbs 18:20, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is Bible, folks. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. How about Ecclesiastes 8:4? The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. You know, Jesus said in Revelation 1:5-6, that he's made us kings and priests in the earth. We are kings in the earth, Jesus said. And Solomon said, where the word of a king is, there's power! Hallelujah. I won't read any more to you. Amen. Glory be to God. God wants to fill these chairs. God wants to grow this church. But he needs a little bit more agreement. We can all come up higher. We can all do a little bit better, can't we? Amen. Everybody in this room knows I need to do better with the words of my mouth, including the pastor. I've got to do better, and I'm committed to doing better, and I want to enter covenant with you today as you take this cup and peel off the plastic barrier on the top to expose the bread. We're going to take communion, kind of a different way to do it here today. If you'll take the bread, you will recall in Luke chapter 22, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not born again, if Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior, I don't know everybody in this room, you really shouldn't do this. That would be partaking of communion, Paul said, in an unworthy manner. But if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, if you're a member of his family and you've been born again and you are in union with the Spirit of God through him, then you have every right to partake of this today. He took the bread and he said, this bread is, this is my body, he said. Which is, this bread symbolizes my body, which was broken for you. Every time you do this, do it in remembrance of what I provided for your body. That is health and that is healing. If you came here today in need of healing, I want to encourage you, when you put this bread in your mouth, use it as a point of contact to release your faith in the Word of God, which says, by His stripes you are healed. You may break the bread and partake. Hallelujah. Unleash expectation for healing if you have sickness in your body. Somebody's having some sort of female problems. You just receive the anointing of God right now. There's a woman in our midst, you're having female problems. Hallelujah, long term. Off and on. Possibly over the course of your life. The Lord says, receive your healing today. Go out of here today, watch what you say. Walk out of here today with every remembrance of sickness. Say, by His stripes I am healed. I'll not let Him die in vain. On the same night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the cup. And He said, this cup symbolizes the New Testament in my blood. It symbolizes the New Testament in my blood. What He was saying is this. Healing is in the bread. Everything else you need is in the cup. Healing is symbolized by the bread. Everything else you need or need to be rid of is symbolized in this cup, in my blood. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. I want to enter into a covenant with you and with God this morning over this cup. And I want to call it a covenant of confession. I want to agree with you for the Holy Spirit of God to set a guard over your mouth and to keep the door of your lips. I want us to enter into a covenant with Almighty God this morning, giving Him our word. If you will help us, help me, I commit to never speaking against your will for this church, myself, my life, no matter who is trying to pull it out of me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we take this cup, I want to pray this too. If you can't believe this, if you aren't willing to believe this, well, then I can't force you to. This is something you're going to have to be willing to do. If you don't agree with what I'm about to pray, you just tell the Lord in your heart, I don't agree with that. But if you do agree, we're going to enter into covenant. We're not only going to watch our mouths, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take everyone out of our lives that you did not send into our lives. Just that simple. Everyone that is not sent of God into my life and into our lives, we ask you, Father God, remove them from our lives. I'm not praying that you tell anybody in your life they have to go. I'm praying and I'm asking you to agree with me that He, God, would simply, I'm not asking anybody would die. No, no, no. Just that He would remove anyone from our lives whom He did not deliberately send into our lives. Because if they didn't come from God, there's only one other source. So if you can agree, if you peel back the lid of that cup, Father, we're covenanting today to watch our mouths from this day forth. We're committing to you in this covenant of confession with Pastor John, to watch our mouths and to never again speak against our prayers. And if we do accidentally, we know we can't be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to repent immediately. Because you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we'll just get up and we'll start the process all over again. Now, if you can agree with that covenant, partake of the cup. We're covenanting with Jehovah. Hallelujah. If you can believe, if you can agree. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and worship God. Let's lift our hands and worship Him. Father, we've covenanted with You this morning. In Jesus' name, to tighten up our acts, Lord. To be more watchful, Father, over what we say. We're not going to worry. We're not going to fear. Worry blocks the spot where the power comes out. Fear blocks the spot where the power comes out. We're not going to worry. We're not going to fear. We've covenanted to keep our words in line with our prayers. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You help us to do exactly that. There's no condemnation. No one's being judged in this room. We're just coming up higher. That's all. It's just a stepping up into a higher realm of God's glory today. That's all it is. That's all it is. That one or more, it could be more than one, who's been on the telephone, you consider yourself forgiven. The devil was trying to trick you. God smoked him out today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and worship God. Let's stand up and worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have song sheets right there. Glory be to God. We're going to sing a song in the back of that song sheet. I believe it's called Say to This Mountain. Is that correct, Barbara?
Yes.
And then after the song, before we dismiss, I'd like to have Barbara Pichelle close with prayer. And we will be dismissed at that point. Amen. Let's just continue to worship Him this morning. Just rejoice.
Yes.
Rejoice in His goodness. Praise. Hallelujah. Things are going to get better. Not bitter. Amen. Hallelujah.
Descending my way, he removed down and cast in the sea.